you're in the 06010.
Welcome in to a very special edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways you could save. Coming live from Las Vegas, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and Stefania Bell. Stefania, how are you?
I'm good, Field. Thanks. How are you? Last time I saw you was on an airplane.
Yeah, so Stefania and I rode on the same plane out here. I'll let the audience guess whether they know which one of us was in first class and which one of us was buried inside of not even like the back of the plane. I was actually put inside of one of the storage areas where people can put their their carry-on bags.
Field, let me clarify. Field, it was JetBlue. There was no first class. I just happened to be in a row slightly ahead of Field. Yeah, we were all the same. I would never outclass Field. I couldn't outclass
Stop
Field.
That. Not She's possible. So full of it. I've traveled with Starfania before. It's always Starfania, and then in parentheses in small letters, it's like also writing other people. Field, I just have to know, like, were you put on as a full-on passenger, or were you there like as Stefania's service animal? Like, were you right. able to like they bring you on like, you know, as like a comfort pet or something like that for Starfania?
Right. Right. Correct. I was able to avoid a checked bag fee by being accompanied. Or accompanying Stefania. So it was quite a way to travel.
Let's be clear. Like, you know, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck joining the company. We all have to cut costs everywhere. And so listen, if you have to travel as storage, it is what it is.
And if I'm going to be anybody's storage, I'm glad that it's Stefania Bell's. Well, Matthew, I would ask you how you're doing, but I know the answer. You're doing great because you always are. Let's get into our round one. Yeah. Fantasy football recap. And on a night that obviously is in many years about the players that have new teams and a first team for the time in the NFL, last night was defined, I think, in some ways by trades and none more significant than some veteran trades. And Matthew, I'll go to you first. The Eagles, who have been praying for a wide receiver all offseason and hovering around every rumor about a potential blockbuster wide receiver trade, have landed their man. And their man is A.J. Brown, who goes to Philadelphia in exchange for the 18th and 101st overall pick. What a night for the Eagles. What does it mean for A.J. Brown's fantasy?
Well, I think before we get there, like, why didn't Washington do this deal? Washington could have traded the 16th and a third rounder and gotten A.J. Brown. I would have.
You know the answer to that.
What?
You know the answer to that.
What's that?
You can't pay A.J. Brown and Terry McLaurin $25 million bucks a year. You can't do that. You know that.
I know that, but I don't know if other people know that.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I was hoping they could just trade for him and then, you know. Anyway, what are you going to do? But here's what I would say. I thought this is a great trade for the Eagles, right? I mean, they've taken a couple of swings and misses in the first round. Obviously, Jalen Reagor did not work out. Jury is still out on Devontae Smith. I think he, you know, showed some flashes last year. Don't know that all the issues in his production were his fault. I think it was, you know, but listen, they went out and got a superstar, one of the best wide receivers talent-wise in the NFL and A.J. Brown. I think this is a downgrade, though, for him, fantasy-wise, for A.J. Brown. Keep in mind the Titans, he goes from the Titans, which obviously is, you know, a super run-heavy team, to the Eagles, which last year was also a super run-heavy team. They're the two run-heaviest teams in the NFL last year. And he goes from a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill that's pretty efficient and pretty accurate to someone in Jalen Hurts who so far in his career has not been. Jalen Hurts is more likely to take off and run, and they use him more. And weirdly, for a team that is so desperate for pass catchers, Field, I would argue that A.J. Brown has suddenly got more competition for targets. When you think about Devontae Smith, when you think about Dallas Goedert, when you think about how they use the running backs in the passing game, like last year, A.J. Brown had a 27% target share on the Titans. And I don't think he's getting a 27% target share in Philadelphia. He's great. He's amazing. But a guy that probably would have been drafted inside the top 12 this year, I think now is much closer to a top 20 guy. Keep in mind, as Stefania, I'm sure, will remind you, this is also somebody that's missed six games the last 2 years and feels like every single week we're talking to Stefania. Hey, he missed practice again today. And Stefania's like, this one's just a, you know, veteran rest day. or like, ah, he's a little dicey for Sunday. So, I mean, injuries are also a part of this for AJ Brown.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, we talked about him just about every week. The Titans did a great job of keeping him on the field. The question is, will that be the same in Philly? And that remains to be seen. The first year was knee injuries. If you recall, he missed a couple games. And we found out after the season when he had surgery that they were considering shutting him down. So it wasn't insignificant, but he did manage to play and play well. And then he came back after surgery and he started off great last season. He dealt with hamstring injuries alongside Julio Jones. They were sort of back and forth with their hamstring injuries. But, you know, ultimately, if you think about the last game when they lost the divisional game, he, you know, without recency bias, he looked really good when the season ended. So I see no reason why he can't start off well.
Looking forward to this Eagles offense, but I would agree, Matthew. It seems like there is more competition for A.J. Brown targets. Not the only veteran receiver traded last night. Another move that took place.
I will say, though, quickly, Hayfield, I do think, obviously, it's an upgrade for Jalen Hurts. And should we talk real quickly about what this means for the Titans? I don't know if you want to dive into that, or I'm happy to tackle that.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you think? It feels like Robert Woods, who I believe should be just fine to be back on the field, given the timing of his ACL injury last year for week one of this year, seems to be in line for a significant target share, Matthew, along with Treylon Burks, who, ironically enough, the player that he was compared to last night on the draft broadcast was A.J. Brown. So it sure feels like Treylon Burks will be a busy man as well, but you would think that Robert Woods has a chance to, I don't know about set career highs and targets and receptions because he was so good for LA for so long, but he's probably right there in the mix for a top 12 or so wide receiver, right?
He's one of the best in the NFL. He's a really precise route runner. I think he's going to mesh really well with Tano. The only question is, will he be there for game one, Stefania? You know, have you heard anything on Woods' recovery?
Well, you know, his recovery was going very well, and he talked about that when he was with the Rams. And I will say the fact that he was working out with the Rams medical staff was excellent, like makes you feel very good about the early part of his rehab story. But we won't know until we see what he does. You know, he wasn't going to participate in spring activities. There's a question about what will happen when we get to training camp. He'll be about 8.5 months post. It's still a little bit on the early side for ACLs. I think people forget it tends to be a little bit longer before you're not just return to football activity. Clearance to return to football activity is not the same as being ready to play. So I think the expectation is probably week one, but until we see him in camp, we won't know for sure.
But I was going to say, Fields, is I think your point is well taken, is that I think Robert Woods is going to be a sneaky sleeper this year because he got injured, because he's going to the Titans, which isn't a sexy team. It certainly isn't a sexy passing team. And you've got Treylon Burks there. Oh, by the way, also they signed, they got Austin Hooper this offseason as well. So they upgraded their tight end position. I just don't think Robert Woods, who is always underrated, even when he's crushing in LA, I think he's going to be a tremendous value in fantasy drafts this year.
Let's move forward to the other veteran receiver trade, which was Hollywood Brown, another Brown getting traded last night. Hollywood Brown goes from the Ravens to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals send back pick 23 and pick 100 in this exchange for Hollywood Brown. Excuse me, pick 100 goes from Baltimore to Arizona. But Matthew, I'll go back to you first again. I don't think anybody is going to believe that Hollywood Brown is the same level of player of A.J. Brown or Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams amongst the star receivers that have been traded this offseason. But yet another big wide receiver blockbuster, and he reunites with Kyler Murray. He's been a player that's had his moments in fantasy, but never particularly consistent over the course of a full season. Could a change of scenery be exactly what Hollywood Brown needs to emerge as the player that Baltimore hoped he would be when they first drafted him?
Yeah, I mean, this one's a weird one, right? I was shocked by this, Field. And I'm curious, from your NFL insider, was this on the radar at all for you? You broke a lot of news during the draft. Kudos to you last night. And you were also broadcasting live as part of our digital stream there. So it was impressive. Actually, I don't know if you broke it, but I did see the first notification of this trade I got was from you.
Well, thank you for being kind.
Yeah, no, but you know, you broke a ton of news. You had a great night last night. Shefty should go visit his kid in college more often. You had an awesome night. But what I was going to say is, like, this one was shocking to me just because Baltimore is a team that needs wide receivers. And, you know, they're trying to figure out a long-term extension with Lamar Jackson and trading a guy that he's obviously, he's not only his number one wide receiver, but someone that he is personally close to. You saw the two of them tweet back and forth on social media last night, Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson, both, you know, upset about this trade. So this was shocking to me. I think fantasy-wise, I feel like, and I'm curious what you think here, Field, but I think this is negligible for his fantasy value. He goes from the number one wide receiver in Baltimore, but it's a run-first offense. And Lamar Jackson, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but Lamar Jackson, in terms of, I would argue, in terms of deep ball accuracy, is not as good as Kyler Murray. I think in terms of what Marquise Brown does well, I think he gets an upgrade in quarterback in Kyler Murray. And even though he's going to be behind DeAndre Hopkins, and maybe he's going to be more tied with Rondell Moore, so he's kind of a 2.5 wide receiver, 2.5 along with Rondell Moore, who we expect a much bigger role for this year. It's a team that last year was top three in the NFL in terms of highest rate of passes thrown 20 or more yards downfield. They like to throw downfield. And again, Kyler is very good completion percentage wise on deep passes. And it's obviously a much more fantasy friendly offense. They throw a lot more just in general. They run a lot more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets than the Ravens do. So I think this is, you know, I think this is pretty negligible for him. I think he's a borderline top 20 guy.
Yeah, I'd say that's about where I see him, as maybe a little bit lower than that, only because there are enough wide receivers that kind of have the number one job in their own offense unto themselves, whereas Hollywood Brown conceivably is the number two receiver, but hypothetically could be, as you said, sort of the 2.5 or maybe even 3 behind Rondell Moore. Familiarity is certainly one of the catalyst of this trade. You asked for, like, do we have any sense of this going down? This trade did not come together on the clock. I don't know if anybody saw this, but Hollywood Brown, like minutes after the trade broke, there's pictures released by the Cardinals of him at their draft party. So he was already, like, this trade got done prior to the actual reporting and eventual announcement of it. And so Hollywood Brown also conceded that he asked for a trade. Remember there was like some squeaky wheel last year with him and being frustrated by the inconsistent targets. So I would presume that in Arizona, as you said, it's just like a much more pass happy offense. They throw the ball so much. And he's great insurance in case something happens to DeAndre Hopkins, who's getting up there in age and has dealt with dings and bruises, plus a more significant knee injury last year. I just, you know, I think the thing about Hollywood Brown is I think he's like a good player. I don't think he's like a great player, right? Like, I don't think he's an AJ Brown level player or a Devontae Adams or a Tyreek Hill or some of the other wide receivers that have been in the news this offseason to potentially be traded. Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf. Like, I think he's a cut below them.
Is it part of a make Kyler Murray happier?
Well, there's certainly that dynamic Kyler needs to be appeased right now. And while he hasn't been paid yet, he now has a player that he was awesome with during their time together in Oklahoma. But I guess I probably have fallen for I've slipped on the banana peel with Marquise Brown enough times in the past to not be ready to commit to him fully. I think an upgrade for sure, but I'm not bullish per se yet on his fantasy outlook in Arizona.
No, I think that's fair. Again, it's a lot of mouths to feed, like I said, but I don't know. I don't think Marquise Brown gets nearly enough credit. This is a guy who, prior to Lamar Jackson getting hurt last year, was wide receiver 12 points per game basis. He finished as wide receiver 22 last year with, you know, and they had Huntley in there, and, you know, it was kind of a mess. I think Marquise Brown is somewhat disrespected because he shouldn't be a number one wide receiver. He's not built like that. He shouldn't have been drafted like that. Like, you know, like, he's more of a number two. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think he was miscast in Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like, he was drafted as a rookie, obviously high, to be sort of like the number one. And like, there are very few guys built like Marquise Brown that are true number one wide receivers. Like, the Tyreek Hills of the world are like, few and far between.
Yeah. Well, Tyreek Hill and Marquise Brown, like, we're talking about 25 pounds difference, right?
Exactly. But I'm just saying, like, he's a smaller, fast guy. That's my point. It's like, there just aren't number one wide receivers built like Marquise Brown. So I don't think it's fair to, quote, hold that against him. I agree with all your assessment. I just don't think that's a knock on Marquise Brown, Field. I think because they have a true alpha in DeAndre Hopkins, Marquise Brown might actually flourish more in Arizona. But yes, a lot of mouths to feed. You and I both have him, you know, 20-ish, somewhere in the 18 to 24 range, I would guess.
Sounds about right to me, and I would agree on that. And just quickly on the Baltimore side, I know everybody's sort of saying Rashad Bateman season. Matthew, are you optimistic that the breakout year is coming for Rashad Bateman? Because other than him, it's not a particularly stocked wide receiver room there in Baltimore.
No, obviously Mark Andrews is a big focal point of their passing offense, and we'll see what they do here in day two and day three. We're taping this the morning of day two, so we've only gone through the first round. So we'll see if Baltimore addresses it anymore. But yeah, to your point, 145 targets are now up for grabs. That's what Marquise Brown got last year, a 26% target share. And Bateman last year had 8 different games where he had 5 or more targets. And in 6 of those, he had double-digit fantasy points. He was injured to start the year. But you saw those flashes. So as somebody who has Rashad Bateman in the dynasty league that all of us play in, last night was a good night for me. I'll just say that. I'm very excited about Rashad Bateman. I'll have him ranked below Marquise Brown in my initial post draft rankings, but he's going to be a trendy sleeper. He's going to be a sleeper for me this year. And he's going to be a trendy sleeper, I think, for a lot of people.
I don't agree with that, only because I don't think he's going to be a sleeper based off how much I think people will be talking about him. He will be discussed ad nauseum because of the opportunity that currently lies ahead for him in Baltimore. Let's move to the rookies who got drafted last night. A very unique draft in a lot of ways. We had 6 wide receivers taken, all in the top 20. We had 0 running backs and 0 tight ends taken. It's been a while. I don't think we've, as a matter of fact, we've never seen a first round. There were no tight ends and no running backs taken, which I think the running back part is partly due to the value of the position. I think the tight end part is because it wasn't a great class for tight ends. There was no Kyle Pitts or even a TJ Hawkinson or those type of players available. To begin with the first one, though, 8th overall, Drake London, wide receiver from USC, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. And the opportunity is so, so massive. But Stefania, this is a player who got hurt right at the end of October, shattered his ankle, and basically he was extremely limited during the pre-draft process. Never wound up running a 40 time, did have a pro day about 15 days before the NFL draft began. But we have some questions about where he's at health-wise. Do you have any intel of where he might be?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when like the draft research began for me, a lot of people were asking me about Drake London, and then sort of that got quieter as the time approached. I think because the pro day, the late pro day that he had, he has been cleared for all football activities. So I think everybody feels better about it. I talked to a couple of folks who were like, you know, you always worry after an injury like that if there could be an issue with the ankle joint going forward. But the folks I talked to felt like if that happens, it's something that's can be addressed at that time. So everybody felt pretty comfortable with his ankle.
And I just think the opportunity is so, so significant. Now, I have some questions about this offense just because I'm not necessarily, I think all of us at this point are not totally invested in Marcus Mariota, who's been inconsistent, has had some health issues, has been just up and down as a player in general, right? But go look at the wide receiver depth chart in Atlanta and take Kyle Pitts out of the equation, even if he is used like a wide receiver. The leading wideout for Atlanta in terms of yards with the Falcons last year is Olamide Zaccheaus with 406 yards. Other wide receivers on this roster include Demir Byrd, Kadarius Hodge, Auden Tate. Now, I might get a little bit greedy during the pre-draft.
Free Auden Tate.
Do love him. But assuming there's no other major investment for the Falcons this offseason at wide receiver, I'm not sure, and maybe this is being too much of the prisoner of the moment, but like, can we recall a rookie who was needed as desperately as I think Drake London is needed at wide receiver for the Falcons? Like, guys have been amazing. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson over the past couple of years. But, like, Ja'Marr Chase joined a wide receiver room with Tyler Boyd and also T. Higgins. Like, they would have still had a good 1-2 punch if they didn't have Ja'Marr Chase. The year before, Justin Jefferson goes and plays alongside Adam Thielen. Like, Drake London is stepping into an abyss for wide receivers, Matthew. I don't know how he's not almost right away. Like, I would think, and maybe you disagree, but I would think based off of landing spot, he's got to be the top rookie wide receiver off the board, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could probably make an argument for Jameson Williams just based on pure talent. You know, I'm a big Williams guy, assuming health, obviously, but I agree with you, Field. Look, we talk about this all the time. Fantasy success comes from two things: talent and opportunity. It's one of the reasons why people are going to be so excited about Rashad Bateman this year, as we just talked about. He's got the talent, and now he's going to have the opportunity. To your point about Drake London, this is a guy that, you know, a lot of people really, really like. He was the first wide receiver off the board, 6'4", 220, like, you know, goes up, wins all those 50-50 balls. And look, they're going to need to throw. This is a team that we think is not going to be good on offense. Not going to be good on defense. Right now, they've got Cordarrelle Patterson there, who's a hybrid as well. They used him obviously much more as a running back last year, but he's certainly involved in the passing game. They still have Kyle Pitts. But yeah, I mean, Drake London has, you know, top 30 upside immediately. And, yeah, you know, I think him and depending on sort of the progress of Jameson Williams, I think they'll be one of the first two rookies drafted at wide receiver this year.
A significant amount of interest in all these rookie wide receivers. I just feel like no matter which of them went, because I think we did have a cluster of three or four that were all extremely talented. If one of them went to Atlanta, I was going to immediately be smitten by that player just because there's so much opportunity.
Hey, before you move on, I just want to make one point about this. And we're going to be talking about this all the offseason, all the way through August and going into it field. But ultimately, like, just remember, at this time last year, we were talking about, oh, Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith, and then as we got closer to training camp, no one was talking about Ja'Marr Chase because he had a couple of bad drops in the preseason. And then Jaylen Waddle was starting to get some love. My point is that there is going to be a lot, and people were talking up Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore was getting all preseason buzz. Rashad Bateman was getting a lot of buzz in the preseason prior to him getting hurt. And obviously those guys did not have great rookie season. So there's a lot of hype and excitement around these players, but, you know, again, it's a little bit of like, hey, the Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, Justin Jefferson's of the world are more the exception than the rule. We think this is a really talented wide receiver class, but like I don't think Garrett Wilson has a huge fantasy year this year, and we can get into him right now.
Okay, let's get to it then, Matthew, because he goes number 10 overall to the New York Jets. And then they have three first-round picks. But what do you make here of Garrett Wilson? The Wilson-to-Wilson connection is alive and well in New York. Zach Wilson to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Wilson's a really talented player, but I love me some Elijah Moore. You know, and they've still got Corey Davis, who they signed to a big deal as well. And, you know, Braxton Berrios isn't going away. But jokes aside on that, like, I don't know that we'll see how the development is for Zach Wilson this year. Can he get more accurate? Can the Jets stay on the field a little bit longer? Can they protect him better? You know, it feels like they found a little bit of rhythm there with Wilson and Moore and Michael Carter towards the end of the year. But I just don't know that this is going to be a dynamic enough offense and that Wilson's going to get enough target share where you're going to leap him above some of these other rookies that landed in better situations in terms of both the quarterbacks they're catching passes from and the opportunity they're going to have based on the offense.
Yeah, I think the scouting report on Garrett Wilson, for those that haven't had a chance to watch Ohio State in depth, very smooth, not a big guy. He's only 180 some pounds. So back to that weight profile once again. I think the question with the Jets is probably just like, of the rookie quarterbacks from last year, I think there's definitely one, and I would say two, that we are like implicitly confident in that they can orchestrate and run a pass proficient offense, right? Like, we know Mac Jones can do it. I know he didn't have, you know, Justin Herbert type stats, but he obviously was really good. And then Trevor Lawrence, I mean, listen, he's obviously Trevor Lawrence still, right? And I'm not saying that Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson won't get there. But, you know, we don't know exactly, you know, we don't know where, right? They're going to be. So Zach Wilson still has something to prove in that regard. But, and the Jets kind of have like a decent amount of pass catchers now, Matthew. Like, it's actually kind of a crowded room. So I really like the player, certainly like the player a lot. but I don't know that the path is quite as obvious as it was for someone like Drake London, who we just discussed a minute ago.
Oh, go ahead, Stefania.
I was just going to say, I feel like with the Jets, you know how some teams get burned by injuries and they're like, okay, well, we're going to make sure we have enough depth to make sure that doesn't happen. I mean, we love Elijah Moore. We love his talent, but he had injury concerns last year. We love Corey Davis, but he had injury concerns, ended his season with groin surgery. And I have a feeling, remember last year was like, who's going to be starting? What? Like there was a big rotation there. And I feel like some teams bounce back with, we're going to make sure we have someone young and healthy in this position who can potentially excel because we've been burned a little bit by the injuries.
Let's move. Yeah, you know, right, Matt, anything else here on the Jets and Garrett Wilson?
Just the fact that, like, you know, you always hate, we're only through day one of the NFL draft, and, you know, mm-hmm. we're sitting here in late April, but so you don't really love to do winners and losers of the NFL draft. But if we were doing that, Elijah Moore is one of them, because that was somebody that I was going to be very, very high on this year. Tons of talent, love him. And now with Garrett Wilson there, suddenly, to your point, guy who has a tremendous amount of talent, but shaky quarterback play, and suddenly the target share that we expected maybe him to take kind of the next step maybe doesn't get there. And I think it's definitely fantasy stock down for Elijah Moore, which is a shame because love the player.
Let's move forward here and get through a few more of these rookie wide receivers. We had to wait exactly one pick for Garrett Wilson's teammate and close friend Chris Olave to go off the board. That's Chris Olave to the Saints. We've had a pretty good run with another wide receiver from Ohio State, and Michael Thomas actually had the most receiving touchdowns in Ohio State history. And they've had some good ones come out of that school, obviously. And that includes Jameson Williams, who also was in that wide receiver room until he transferred to Alabama. Matthew,
and speaking of Ohio State wide receivers and Terry McLaurin, I really thought the Commanders, who actually originally had the 11th pick, and you broke this news as well with the Saints trading up to get Olave into the 11th pick. I thought the Commanders were going to get Olave here or Kyle Hamilton. Honestly,
would have made some sense. But they obviously end up with Jahan Dotson, who we'll discuss in a moment. But this one really interesting here, because if you look at the rookie wide receivers that we've discussed so far and will discuss going forward, none of them landed with like a lock it in, like franchise. I mean, like franchise quarterback, yes, but like none of them landed with like a top five quarterback, right? Like none of them landed with Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. But you can make the case that Jameis Winston, of the six quarterbacks who are going to be connected with these six first round rookie wide receivers, is the best passer. I'm sure there's going to be some that would say maybe it's Ryan Tannehill, maybe Zach Wilson will get there one day. But Jameis, as we know, is not afraid to throw it and throw it a ton. Saints are going to need him, Matthew. This wide receiver room got thin in a hurry last year. Chris Olave should be very busy.
He should be. And, you know, by the way, he's also somebody that, you know, absolutely is great on deep routes. And look, to your point, Jameis ain't scared to chuck it deep. And again, without like, and everyone's like, oh, and he's going to join with Michael Thomas. It's been 2 years since we saw Michael Thomas. It's been 3 years since we've seen Michael Thomas be good. Is that fair?
Yeah. It's not only is it fair, I think it's a legit question if we see him.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm just like, it's literally been 3 years since we saw Michael Thomas, fantasy football god. It's been three seasons, right? He had the lost season 2 years ago where he was banged up and, you know, very surprisingly down year for him. And then last year, of course, didn't play at all. And there hasn't been a lot of news there. And it feels like there's a lot of bad blood or just bad vibes out of New Orleans. And who knows, with a coaching change there and no Sean Payton, you know, maybe, you know, I have no idea what the issue that Thomas and the Saints have, but clearly there's something there. So maybe a new coaching staff, you know, new energy, maybe that solves it. But right, to Stefania's point, like Chris Olave could actually be, you know, what we just talked about with Drake London. Because if you knew Michael Thomas wasn't going to play this year or was going to miss significant time, suddenly like, oh man. You know what I mean? Like, because whatever you think of Jameis Winston, he's better than Marcus Mariota. You know, I mean, he is, at least at this point in their career. And he would have the exact same sort of opportunity Olave would that Drake London's going to have. I think London's a better player. I like him a little bit better, but Olave's pretty good. You know, like he's, you know, like I said, I kind of wanted Washington to get him. So I'm an Olave fan. This is really interesting, and he could easily sneak, you know, he could easily sneak up here. A lot depends on Michael Thomas, his health and availability.
All right, we're going to move forward to the rest of the wide receivers that were drafted in the first round in just a minute. First, a live read from Daniel.
Oh, hey, guys. I'm also here. My name's Daniel. And Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. I mean, after all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? When it comes to great rates on insurance for all things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with your homeowner's condo or renter's insurance. You could even save more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes a really easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Support for this podcast and the following message also comes from Supercuts. Hair. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to. And somehow it can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. Luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you when you're someone who needs a haircut, but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can use the Supercuts app to find locations nearest to you and check in or just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait times so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained specialists. Get in and get out and get to that thing you need a haircut for, whether you got a first date or a vacation coming up or you just want to look good for the NFL draft. Supercuts makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com.
All righty, we move forward to our final three first round wide receivers. The receiver run was just ridiculous in the middle of the first round last night. And Jameson Williams goes all the way up to number 12 to Daniel's Lions. I would love to get Daniel's thoughts here in just a second, but we're going to start. Oh, that was excited. We're going to get Daniel's expanded thoughts in just a second. But Stefania, there is obviously a significant medical component to this selection as Jameson Williams tore his ACL in January. How soon would be realistic to see him back on the field?
I think most teams' field are expecting around the middle of the season. You know, there's a few things that you look at when you have a wide receiver coming or any athlete coming off ACL injury and heading into the NFL draft. And one is who did the surgery? And that was Dr. Lyle Kane in Alabama, who's an excellent surgeon. So everybody feels very comfortable with who did the surgery and expects a good outcome. Also, when they evaluate the players at rechecks, they want to know, does the graft feel stable? Does the knee feel stable? Does it feel like it's stretched out at all? And the reports I got was that everybody was very pleased with how Jameson Williams was progressing. That being said, it takes about a year for the graft that's been implanted to mature. And I think people forget that. There's sort of this thing that players are going to come back in like 6 to 8 months, and sometimes they do and they can, but they're more vulnerable at that time because the graft hasn't fully matured. I think the smart move here is for a team that's going to allow him to progress back into football activity gradually and not force him into week one. A big part of Jameson Williams' success across his career is making sure that he's not rushed back too soon. And so that will be, you know, the Lions' task is you're going to have an enthusiastic rookie who wants to come in and do whatever he's asked. And the hope is that they bring him along properly. Anything you get beyond 8 weeks, one person told me would be considered gravy. So it's possible he could return before that. We don't know how much he'll do in camp, but I don't expect to see him until some point in October, November.
All right, Matthew, what do you think of the pick here?
Yeah, I mean, I love the pick actually. Is another one that I hoped it would fall to the Commanders. The only question is about the health, but to Stefania's point, they expect him ultimately to fully recover. Depending on as we get closer to training camp, as we know, if he'll miss time, that'll affect it somewhat in terms of where he goes draft wise. But I think there's a strong argument to be made he should be the number one wide receiver in dynasty drafts this year. Love the player. I think Jared Goff will be. Again, like we saw with Amon-Ra St. Brown, we saw it with T.J. Hockenson, who's out there. Like, Jared Goff is a competent enough quarterback to support fantasy-relevant wide receivers. So I know people are like, he went to Detroit and Jared Goff. But, like, again, I'd argue Jared Goff is better than Marcus Mariota. Like, Jared Goff is a professional quarterback, and it'll be fine. I do think this – he comes into a crowded wide pass catcher room, I should say, right? So you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who last year exploded, and, you know, they're expecting big things for him in year two. You've got T.J. Hockenson as part of the pass catching. Obviously, he's a big part of that offense. They signed D.J. Chark in this offseason. So all of a sudden – and DeAndre Swift, of course, is a big part of the passing game as well. So suddenly, like, this is kind of like a crowded pass catching core. So given the, I think Jameson Williams is one of those, could easily be one of those guys similar to Jalen Waddle last year, in the sense that, like, over the second half of the year, Williams could be a thing, not somebody that I want to draft immediately to count on, but second half of the year, as he gets healthier, gets more into the system, gets more familiar with Goff, you know, could easily be a thing. But love the player. And yeah, if I was a Lions fan like Daniel, I'd be pretty excited.
Holy freaking smokes, Fields Yates. I am so excited. Are you kidding me? The Minnesota Vikings just gave us Jameson Williams on a platter in our own division. Brad Holmes, listen, Brad Holmes should be running for president. Dan Campbell is my VP, Aaron Glenn, Secretary of Defense, Jill Costanza, my Surgeon General. I am so on board with this front office. Oh my gosh, they are so good. Now, to be fair, we have the time to wait on Jameson Williams. The Lions don't need to. We're still in rebuild mode. We don't need the first 8 weeks of the season. And of course, we all want to see him out there as soon as possible. I think this is just an unbelievable pick for Detroit. And there are so many good and potentially scary skill weapon players on this Lions offense. If Jared Goff can get it together, Field Yates, I think that they have they at least have an option. Someone tell me that they at least have an option, please, because that's all it's about for me.
Daniel, I love the pick for many reasons. Let me start here. If you were going to take Jameson Williams, I thought were best served to be a team that did not need Jameson Williams to contribute right away. And who knows when he'll be ready. Stefania outlined the potential timeline. But the Lions, to your point, Daniel, like, you're honest with where your team is at. They're making strides, but they are not yet, like, I personally don't view them as a team that is going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So you can worry about years 2 through 5 with Jameson Williams and not as much about year 1. I am not trying to rain in the parade of other first-round wide receivers, but there were some people that felt as though we had one receiver and then we had the rest of them in this year's draft. That one receiver was Jameson Williams. This is how some evaluators felt. That, like, of all the ones out there, he was the one that was special, has a chance to be special. The only reason why he went where he did, of course, is the fact that he tore his ACL in January. I think truly, I'm not trying to play the crowd here, Daniel, there's a chance 3 years from now we're saying the Lions drafted the best offensive and defensive player in this year's draft. I truly believe that. Now, as far as fantasy is concerned, you know, it's going to take some time. Jared Goff is a rock solid quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback, but Jameson Williams is so special. He can do so much. He is, you know, the comparisons have ranged from, you know, Tyreek Hill to Odell Beckham Jr., which normally I think those are kind of ridiculous things to do to a player because he hasn't even taken an NFL snap. I think with Jameson Williams, you can see some shades of it. So dynasty purposes, he is the number one wide receiver on my board. If we were to have that draft right now, he'd be the number one pick. Let's get to the last couple here. As Matthew mentioned, his team took Jahan Dotson, the Commanders at pick 16. So Matthew, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, wide receiver is obviously an area of need. I think they're very frustrated by the fact that Curtis Samuel didn't really work out the way they hoped he would last year, and Diami Brown's development has been a little bit slower. My expectation is they do get a deal with Terry McLaurin done, but, you know, Dotson, obviously, you know, good player, good opportunity here. I actually spoke, I'll tell you, I ran into Jason Wright, team president of the Washington Commanders. Great guy. And I talked to him about it. And I said, how do you feel?
And he was like, who are you? I don't have time for fans. I'm busy.
He knows who I am. Believe me.
Look, the run the other direction.
No, the Commanders could use some friends in media at the moment. Anyway, Jason Wright's a great guy, and I've met him a few times through mutual friends. And so, but he said to me, I don't think I'm speaking out of school, by just saying, like, they felt they had about six guys and then added an asterisk six. He said, we have six guys that we feel really good about, and we think one of them is going to be there for us. And my expectation is that some of the guys that they really liked ended up going later than they expected, which is why they were able to trade back with the Saints 216 and get a couple of middle round, you know, a couple of day two picks here, where they think there's a lot of depth out there that, you know, Washington has some holes to fill. So I thought this was, a better NFL draft pick than fantasy draft pick. Because again, Washington's still going to play at a fairly conservative pace of play this year, is my expectation. And you've got McLaurin, you've got Logan Thomas, you've got Antonio Gibson. I know they hope to have a healthy Curtis Samuel here. So I don't think Dotson is somebody that's going to have a tremendous fantasy role this year. I think he'll be fine. I think he can play both inside and out. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do some slot work with the team. But yeah, I don't know that it's a great fantasy match. I will say this though. Like, I mean, we can make all the Carson Wentz jokes we want, but at least they're giving Wentz some weapons. That, I mean, I think he'll have more weapons in Washington than he did have in Indianapolis. Do you think that's fair, Field?
I don't. No, you're not too much of a homer at all. That's a very, I think, just sort of reasonable take there. I actually really like the player. He's got outstanding hands, incredible catch radius, just made plays consistently. Not the biggest of the guys. I mean, that's, I think, part of the reason why some of the pre-draft prognostications would be him. Like 16 was probably like the, you know, as good as it would get for Jahan Dotson. I really like the player, though, and I hope they get a lot out of Curtis Samuel. But if they're not getting a lot out of Curtis Samuel this year, it might be because they're getting a ton out of Jahan Dotson. I like it. I just, you know, in a crowded, like they have a clear hierarchy of pass catchers in Washington. And I would think best case scenario for him is like number two, number three next year, but it could potentially be number four, right? I mean, Logan Thomas plus Terry plus Curtis Samuel, and you could have Jahan Dotson as number four out of the gates here. Let's get to the last one of these wide receivers that go in the first round. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but just to put a bow on the conversation, Treylon Burks goes 18th overall, and we mentioned sort of the comp he got was to A.J. Brown, and he now is going to take over for A.J. Brown. 6'2", 225, ran a 4.55, very good after the catch during his time at Arkansas. Didn't crush the 40, which is part of the reason why he went 18th, Matthew, but like another like ripe opportunity here. Maybe not as ripe as Drake London, but pretty darn ripe with a pretty good quarterback as well.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And again, so they've got, as we talked about it with the A.J. Brown trade, they've got Robert Woods, but he's coming off the ACL tear. They signed Austin Hooper. But to your point about Burks being comp to A.J. Brown, he's 6'2", 225. Like he's a big guy, right? And so you could sort of see him. Could you see a scenario where, in theory, that Burks takes the A.J. Brown role in this offense and Robert Woods takes the what they hoped Julio Jones was going to be last year role in this offense? I mean, we sometimes sort of look at who's the more famous player, who's the more accomplished player and that kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily talking about target share, but just in terms of their play calling. So I do think Burks has an opportunity here. Still going to be a run first team, but they've been able to produce, you know, Ryan Tannehill's been really efficient since he's become the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And so he hasn't needed a ton of volume to produce big fantasy numbers for A.J. Brown, for Corey Davis prior to him leaving that team. Julio Jones was kind of a bust last year, but I think this is a decent landing spot for Burks. You know, I think fantasy wise, I prefer him more than Dotson, but not as much as like, you know, a Drake London. So I think he's somewhere sort of in the middle there. Would kind of be, you know, I don't like him as much as Williams, obviously, you know, but Ryan, I'm just talking about for this year.
Okay, fair enough. I like him. I think he's a good player. I think we could look.
No, it's not about him not being a good player. I like him. I'm just trying to think fantasy perspective. Like Dotson to me is a non-factor fantasy wise.
Yeah, I think Treylon Burks has a chance to be a pretty big factor fantasy wise. We'll just see how much they run the football compared to last year and year before. I know Derrick Henry came back late in the year last year for the playoff game, but we'll see if like they try to be a little bit more judicious with his workload, just because, you know, the age is going to eventually catch up to a player who plays such a physical nature of football.
Just because we wrapped up the wide receivers just very quickly. We'll do a name game. I'm sure Daniel doesn't have a name game drop ready, but real quick, like in terms of fantasy landing spots, Drake London or Garrett Wilson, right? Drake London.
Drake London, yep.
Right? Drake London or Chris Olave?
Drake London.
Agreed. Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson?
Chris Olave.
I agree. All right. Now, Chris Olave or Jameson Williams?
Chris Olave for this year.
For this year, I agree. Long term, we both like Williams more. But, like, Williams or Garrett Wilson for this year?
I would go with I'm going to go with Jameson Williams only because I think that you may get, like, like 6 to 8 great games at the end of the year as opposed to, like, Garrett Wilson giving you, like, 17 games of maybe more like wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 value.
I agree. Williams or Burks?
Burks.
I'll buy that. And then and then Burks or Dotson?
I would go with Burks as well. So if I were to stack them, Matthew, it goes 1 Drake London, 2 Chris Olave, 3 Treylon Burks, 4 Jameson Williams, 5 Garrett Wilson, 6 John Dotson.
We agree completely. There you go. I mean, I think that's a good process for people to go through when they're doing their own ranks, whether it's rookie wide receivers or whatever, but just go through that process like that field that I just did really quickly. And I think you'll find you'll be able to quickly realize sort of where you feel about players.
Sure. Fair enough. Let's end here on a quarterback who was drafted in the first round. The only quarterback or running back or tight end in the first round. Kenny Pickett goes to Pittsburgh, Matthew. He has the shortest commute in the history of a draft prospect. I love the Mike Tomlin quote. Did you guys see it after the draft? Yeah. He said, you know, we went around the world, well, around the United States, and we ended up taking the kid who we shared a practice facility with. So Kenny Pickett goes to Pitt. He's going to compete with Mr. Trubisky right away to be the starting quarterback. Matthew, he's a good athlete. He actually is now the reason why they're going to change the rule. For you can no longer fake slide in college football. Mm-hmm. But Kenny Pickett, I just think in an era in which we have so many good fantasy quarterbacks, probably, I would say, does not crack the fantasy radar. And candidly, Matthew, I don't know that he or Mitch Trubisky, if they are the starter, whichever one is, I don't know that it means that much for the outlook of the pass catchers in Pittsburgh compared to where they were last year. Like, I think they're pretty comparable, don't you? Ben Roethlisberger, obviously going to go to the Hall of Fame one day, but it's not like Ben was lighting the world on fire last year.
No, he wasn't. Ben Roethlisberger was, like, competent-ish last year as a passer.
Yeah.
And that's what Trubisky or Kenny Pickett, if he manages to beat him out in training camp, I don't think that will happen. I expect the first snap under center game one for the Steelers will be Trubisky. We'll see if that, you know, that changes, but ultimately, right, whether it's Pickett, whether it's Trubisky, I don't think there's a ton of fantasy value in the quarterback position in Pittsburgh. And I don't think you're downgrading Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool or Pat Freiermuth or, you know, Najee Harris, any of the offensive skill players that you would be really interested in drafting this year from the Steelers based on who the quarterback is. I will say that I do, fantasy-wise, I would prefer Trubisky to Pickett just because of the rushing ability. You know, I mean, I think that Trubisky would put up more rushing yards ultimately. I think it would be used more as a runner than Pickett would be.
Yeah. I think probably the issue is going to be that, you know, one of them may end up winning the job to start the season, especially if it's Trubisky, and then be yanked in the middle of the season, right? Just, you know, things don't go well, especially in a division, which, you know, honestly, guys, it's we have three teams that may very well be better than Pittsburgh next year. They could be in last place midway through the year, and they could say, all right, time to see what the kid has. So not a great year this year compared to last year for quarterbacks, obviously. 5 in the top 15, 1 period in the first round. This year didn't go to 20th. This is going to be a year to find more by wide receivers than anything else. Very much looking forward to rounds 2 through 7 still coming up in the draft. Spine, any closing thoughts we did not cover in the first round of the NFL draft?
No, I think we hit all the stuff that I wanted to touch on. So Niners, hey, here was my highlight of the evening. Debo didn't get traded.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I talked to Debo Samuel. I was texting with him yesterday. I can report this now officially.
Wow.
I was texting with Debo and I asked him, I said, why the division? You had such a successful year with the 49ers. Seems like Kyle really uses you creatively. Why the trade demand? And he said, look, man, I have to have a long career. And if I'm a 49er, I'm going to have to talk to Stefania at training camp. And that's always, you know, that's dicey. That's dicey for me and my health. Like, I can't fall to the curse. Like, yeah. I avoided it last year, but I need to get out of Dodge so I don't have to deal with her at training camp. That's a direct quote.
You know, I'm not making that up. Proof that it's false. Check my Instagram picture with Elijah Mitchell. Not afraid, Elijah Mitchell.
By the way, Elijah Mitchell's been placed on season-ending IR.
Are you going to report any of this to the desk, Matthew? Any of this information? Good to know.
You should tweet it, though. Will you just tweet it for me, Field? I got
sure, no problem. Go catch that flight. I'll take care of the tweet.
Can I just say one thing really quickly? I just want to put into the universe, I do not want Breece Hall to get drafted by the Buffalo Bills tonight. Like, I realize there's a lot of people talking about how the Bills might need a running back, but please, I want to have that kid go somewhere where we can use him in fantasy. And if he goes to Buffalo, it's just, I don't know.
I don't think he's going to make it there, Daniel, but we shall see. Again,
I mean, that was a big – sorry, Field, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to me, that was one of the other big storylines of the first round. Obviously, the overall storyline, all the wide receivers, the big-name trades of both Browns, AJ and Marquise, but the fact that no running backs were taken. So we will see where Breece Hall goes. We will see where Kenneth Walker and Isaiah Spiller and all the running backs go here tonight and, you know, maybe possibly tomorrow. We'll see where Malik Willis lands. We'll see where Desmond Ridder lands. Kind of be pretty interesting. But fantasy-wise, the wide receivers were the story of round one.
Sure was. Looking forward to round two and three tonight. Check them out on ESPN, ABC, or if you're inclined, you can watch a Twitter stream as well. Rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. We'll have more fantasy content coming up in future weeks for Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel, and the entire crew. We've got Kyle and Damian here as well. I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.